Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What is up, everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined, as always, by our mutual friend, acquaintance, lawyer extraordinaire, hockey enthusiast, has to be happy about his first place Capitals, despite an injured Alex Ovechkin, David Ungar himself. And we are here for another edition of Hockey Talk. Thank you for letting us have, you know, we had a week off last week. Things happened. Things came up. Dave was unable to do the show. So we found a replacement. We found a substitution. We had the return of the 5x5 twice last week, Dave. I don't know if you listened to either of them. The one was very near to my heart, the one I did with DJ that filled in for our show, because that was our five best and five worst Lord of the Rings characters. Ooh. And if you want to hear Patrick O'Dowd go off on a couple of characters, namely one Gandalf the Grey, and one Frodo Baggins. Hint, everyone. Actually, I'm not. Spoiler, it's been a week. They're on my worst. They're the worst. And I'm not ashamed to say it. The worst. Like, Frodo sucks at everything. Literally sucks at everything and fails at the mission. Like, even in the book, sucks at everything, fails at the mission. But that's like, true. Oh, it's my burden. I have to carry the ring. Fuck that.
Gandalf?
Can you guess? Though? Yeah, Gandalf, the most convenient. I got to go away, guys. Go fight these fucking things while I go away. I got to go.
18 years later, I'm back.
Oh, hey, everybody. What's happening, man? Oh, I think I may have shared this meme. I'm not sure if I did or not, but it was hilarious. It's of it's that scene where Gandalf and Saruman are talking to each other. And they've changed where Saruman will be like, you know, your love of the halfling leaf has clearly clouded it. He's basically, we came to this conclusion, DJ and I, because he participated in the aftermath. He didn't cut me off or anything. He's basically Big Lebowski at the end of the day. Like, Gandalf just getting high, being like, yeah, well, that's like just your opinion, man. Like, he is the stoner friend who gets everybody into trouble, yeah, and then is like, nope, I did nothing.
That's true.
So yeah, so we brought back the 5x5. We brought back I also brought back the 5x5 with Tunney. We pinch hit a Sunday edition of the 5x5 where we gave our five best and five worst Thanksgiving foods of all time in the spirit of the holiday. Where I probably, as I said on Bandwagon Nerds last week, probably one of the best 5x5s for what the show is, because Tony and I were literally on opposite sides of the spectrums with our favorite and least favorite foods. Like, I hate green bean casserole more than anything on the planet. So much so. And it's tough when you live in the Midwest, because when you grew up in the Midwest, everybody, you had to eat something that was made with Campbell's soup and put into a casserole dish. Is usually green beans. It's disgusting. It's gross. Green beans are the worst vegetables. And then we made it worse by putting it in a casserole. So F green bean casserole. That so saith me. But none of that is. Yeah. My number one is turkey, and Tony's like least favorite was turkey. So it's.
Yeah. Turkey's a tough one. I mean, I'm into it, but you know, if somebody's going to say at Thanksgiving, you can have prime rib or turkey, I'm probably going to go with the prime rib, but just, well, you know.
Here's the thing, is it really who and how they prepare the turkey,
right,
makes a big difference. The Mrs. O'Dowd makes a mean bird. Like, it's a great bird, and every year. And she's so funny. The little O'Dowd actually called her out at Thanksgiving this year. So we're sitting around the table. We're eating our Thanksgiving dinner. Our turkey, we name the turkey every year. His name was Fillmore this year. And Fillmore was delightful. He filled us up. Ba-dum-ching, pun intended. But Mrs. O'Dowd, every time she does a big cooked dinner thing, is always like, oh, this is not my best. And so finally, the little O'Dowd looked at her this year, and he was like, I really wish you'd stop saying that. Because every year you talk about how you didn't do, how you don't feel like you did a good job. And this food is really good, and I like it, and you did a good job.
I thought for sure you were going to say, he looked at her and said, you know, Mom, you're right, this isn't your best.
No. He was very sweet. He tried to instill confidence in the Mrs. O'Dowd. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty quiet, man. We didn't do anything big. We just got a few people together, went to Black Angus, which I was, whatever. But it was fine. You know, it was fine, you know, for what it was, and just not.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, you didn't have to cook. We didn't have to clean up. We didn't have to do all that. We'll do something bigger for Christmas. But that's for fun. This, it was kind of like, you know, and I mean, you know, we got the trip coming up later on today going down to Disney. And so we didn't want to get too involved.
Are you excited? I'm assuming for your Disneyland trip, because you have to hit the classics. It's a no brainer, but you're going just in time to not have to do that virtual queue business for the Haunted Mansion. You get to see the newly renovated queue and setup for that. It looks really nice.
The gift shop too.
Is it open?
It's open.
Did they open it finally? Because I know it wasn't open a couple of days ago. Like, I know they were waiting.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was open. I got to double check with my
No, store. Double check that, because I don't know that the Madame Leota store is open just yet. It wasn't as of a couple of days ago. As one of my friends who's a Disney travel agent, she gives me such a hard time because she's the travel agent, and yet she's like, you know more about this stuff and what's going on than I do. And I was like, I follow the bloggers. I follow Disney Parks blog. That's why I'm angsty right now about the state of Hollywood Studios. Have we talked about this? Well, okay. So kids, here's your Disney Parks information for today. So last week, Disney announced. So it's been announced and known since D23 that there would be a Monsters Inc. themed land coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And the concept art they put out there looked like it was going to actually take over the Star Wars Launch Bay area, which, while I would have been sad about, because it has the probably arguably the coolest meet and greet for Star Wars fans, because you can be BB-8, Chewbacca, and Darth Vader. I got it, because you have Galaxy's Edge, right? So outside of those three meet and greets, there's nothing else there. There's a nifty little museum. If you have a Disney Visa, there's a special R2-D2/Darth Vader meet and greet that you get. But on the whole, it's a lot of space, and a lot of people use that as a place to go in the parks to sort of hide out and cool off on those hot summer days. So if you replaced that area with a new land, and, you know, there's a little Disney Junior meet and greet that people like, for little kids, like that's cool, and a dance party. But like, I don't think anybody would have particularly been crushed, because again, they have a Disney Junior breakfast for fans of that as well. So you don't lose a ton by taking that. What people were scared of was the idea of the Muppets part of Hollywood Studios being on the chopping block for this Monsters Inc. land. And so when Disney puts this concept art out, it looks like they're taking over Launch Bay. People started to relax a little bit. Well, got news this week, or this past week, that Monsters Inc. Land is indeed going to take over the Muppets courtyard area, which means the end of Pizza Rizzo, which, while not the best food place in the world, does have a lot of fun Easter eggy stuff that people like to see. It is going to mean the end of Mama Melrose's, which is an Italian restaurant that hides back there, which isn't a particularly popular place to eat. They are going to replace it with Harryhausen's Sushi, which excites me from the original Monsters, Inc. movie. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's the restaurant that Mike takes his girlfriend to in the first movie. And they're adding this really cool, their first ever suspended coaster where you got the feet dangling sort of thing as you ride through the Monsters, Inc. factory with the doors from the movie. They also announced a new show. And that new show is going to go in the theater that currently hosts Muppet Vision 3D. And I know I should be whining about this on Bandwagon Nerds. I probably will on Bandwagon Nerds as well. The reason Disney Pure, this is the first time since I've started my my Disney adult fandom where an announcement has made me kind of sad about a change, because I love Muppet Vision 3D. I know you went to Disney World about a year or two ago now, it seems like. It's been a little bit.
We don't have it out here anymore.
But Muppet Vision 3D, I'm assuming you may have gone. Mm-hmm. You strike me as a pretty good. It's special in a lot of different ways to a lot of fans. First of all, it's the last Muppet project that Jim Henson worked on before he died. And in fact, he passed before he got to see it because it released like a year after he passed away, like on his birthday, I want to say, or somewhere now, because it released on my birthday, actually, May 16th. Kids, if you want to get Patrick Rodowitz on his birthday, May 16th, 1991 was when Muppet Vision 3D released. And so it was, you know, it's always had a sort of special place for fans of the Muppets. And of all the things that you do in Hollywood studios, and there are many, it has a little bit of a nostalgic charm. It is a combination of a 3D projected show along with practical animatronics like Statler and Waldorf are up insulting the screen while Fozzie talks back to them. They have an orchestra of penguins and you get live action Sweetums. Like Sweetums walks out as part of the show when they're looking for Bean after Bean gets his feelings hurt by Miss Piggy. Like it's this very delightful, cute, interactive thing with multiple elements. And yeah, it's dated. Yeah, the technology is behind, but I think people were really holding out hope that show would stay, and the announcement of the Monsters, Inc. land being there meant, at least for now. Now, Disney Parks blog gave itself some wiggle to say we are exploring ways to keep Muppet Vision 3D alive. I hope this doesn't mean Disney Plus. I hope it means finding a new place for the attraction, because it's so much more than the thing on the screen, right? And that's what I think people need to remember.
We had, I think they replaced it with Mickey's PhilharMagic out here, which I don't know if they've got that back east, but
yeah, they do. They have it at Magic Kingdom.
Okay,
it's Magic Kingdom. And it's part of Fantasyland,
and that's fine. You know, that sort of thing. The idea of a suspended coaster is interesting because we have Monsters, Inc. out at California Adventure, but it's just kind of like a dark ride, sort of haunted mansion thing. But they've got all the doors, and the room with all the doors is very impressive because, like, holy shit, there's a lot of doors in here.
Right.
So that'll be kind of cool. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I know the Haunted Mansion will be back to kind of normal. Tiana's still on a virtual queue, which they're doing something kind of interesting. Like if you get the first queue, you don't have to be in the park. But for the second and third one, you actually have to be in the park to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I don't hate that. Because you know, the first one that goes live before the park opens.
Right.
So you shouldn't be in the park, but you know, if you're not there later in the day, because it's usually, if it follows what Disney World does, it would be like 7 a.m. and then another one at 1 p.m. And then I don't know when your third one is. Disney World only had two that you could do, unless there was a party. If there was a party, they would have a third virtual queue sometimes.
I'll look it up for you.
But anyway, regardless, at least, you know, because it does open up opportunities for people who actually took the time and are there at the parks. So always the craziest time to go on vacation to either Disneyland or Disney World. But I would also, it was funny, I was talking to Mrs. O'Dowd, and I was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde, where I was like, you know, I can't stand the crowds, but the environment and the ambiance of Disney at Christmas time is special. And we don't even have things like the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay at the Haunted Mansion. We don't get stuff like that. We do get Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and the kind of Trans-Siberian Orchestra-esque overlay for Space Mountain.
This first week in December at Disneyland isn't bad. It's not bad. I mean, right. it's not very crowded. It's before the big...
The closer you get to Christmas. Yeah.
And this is the sweet spot to go where, you know, even the crowd trackers that you watch say, hey, it's all right. It's packed or forget about it sort of
thing. Because people are still in school. Yeah. And so it kind of works. This is actually the 5-year anniversary of the first time we ever went to Disney World. And I remember it not being terrible until we got to Epcot. Was a challenge for us.
They've got it at 7:00. And that's where you don't need to be in the park. Then they've got it at noon, and then they got it at 4:00.
So yeah, you've got more. That's interesting. So all right, that easily clears our 5 minutes of ad time and what we need to do. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked hockey, and I don't really want to talk standings today because there's not a lot of shifting. Though, congratulations to Toronto weathering the storm of an Austin Matthews-less existence to get him back. They're 8-2 out of their last 10, playing really, really good hockey right now and closing in on the Florida Panthers, who are holding a 1-point lead. Your Caps, I mentioned this at the opening, sir. How are you guys weathering life without Alex Ovechkin? Because it's easy to tell what's going on in Toronto, right? Toronto is getting their star back. Things are kind of aligning. But the Caps sitting here at 17-6 with an overtime game. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They're on a 4-game winning streak. And you know, we talked about Ovechkin finding new life with these guys, sort of taking a lot of the pressure away for him to be the guy. It looks like they're still going without him there. So tell me about it. Tell me what's up.
So I thought about how I wanted to phrase this. And here's what I've got is I'm not going to say the Capitals are better without Alex Ovechkin. I will say they are better off without him right now because the kids are learning how to play without him. And, you know, with him there, it's one thing, you know, obviously you want arguably the greatest goal scorer of all time in the lineup. Sure. But they had, you know, when he first went down, they lost those first two games. But since then, they've really worked out a lot of the issues. And now you see it's a total team effort. They are relying on each other. They don't have Alex Ovechkin to rely on. And the biggest difference that I've seen is the power play has gone from anemic to lethal without him in there. Like they scored like 4 power play goals against New Jersey yesterday. Because, you know, now you don't have Ovi sitting up in his office, and now you have teams who are like, okay, well, who do we really try and focus on? Who do we take out? So the power plays become more dynamic. They can skate with just about anybody at this point in time. I mean, I've watched them and they're just like, okay. I mean, they just put the clamps on Florida the other night. That's the defending champions. They beat them. They had Jersey. I mean, I would like to see the blue line be a little bit more stingy, but like the other night, I sent you that thing. I mean, when you survive, like they did putting a puck in your own net, like Lindgren did, and then they come back and actually win that game. There's something going on. If their blue line gets better and, you know, Logan Thompson is, I think I would say he's the number one over Lindgren right now, but that's not to say Charlie's playing bad. But if their blue line tightens up, they can be a real threat. I mean, like this is a team I said, oh, they're not going to make the playoffs. Now I'm looking at these guys thinking, man, they're going to go to Ovechkin back at some point, arrested, hopefully healthy Ovechkin. That's only going to help. But right now they are learning how to play without him. Carberry, it's great for Spencer Carberry because he's getting to see line combinations and things that he can mix and match without that critical piece. And it just gives him a lot of freedom and a lot of latitude. And the fact that they're not falling apart, but they're thriving is stunning to say the least, but not completely unexpected. I figured they would figure some things out and they really look like they are taking on the challenge and they're playing extremely well right now.
Right. Nice work yesterday holding off the New Jersey Devils though. Go 6-5.
They had a 4-2 lead, then they gave it away, and then they you know pulled it out. That's what I said about the blue line. I think they give away too many goals in there, and they're not stingy enough there. But like the game on who they winning in overtime? I think it was I don't know if it was Tampa or Florida or whoever they played in overtime the other night, but Jacob Chychrun with this wrist shot that's got like no windup, but just flies off of his stick is like, oh,
flips it.
The Islanders. That's who it was. That was really, really impressive. And I'm like, you know, they've got some players there. I think the moves that they made, they brought back Lars Zeller, who was part of the cup winning team. So they've got these interesting elements and Jersey's really good. You know, looking at the rest of the division, Carolina and the Rangers are kind of sputtering here and there, but I think they're right in the thick of things, but we need to talk about your team.
We're going to do that after the break, because if we're going to talk about we're going to talk about coaching changes after the break. So the whole,
Bears included in this conversation?
Man, I'll tell you what, we'll hold on. Keep your pants on. Just keep your pants on. We'll take our first commercial break here in a second. But, just looking at what's going on, Winnipeg has kind of come back down to earth a little bit, but they're still, 18 wins to 6 losses, but in a virtual tie with Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, by the way, I don't know that I had Minnesota being this good on my bingo card at this point in the season. And yet here we are, 16-4-4. Those overtime games are what's holding them back. I think they won again yesterday too. Let me look. Yep, they beat Nashville in overtime. They're getting it done in so many ways. Kirill Kaprizov. God, I hate hockey names, bro. I hate them. Leading the league in goals right now. He is top 5 in points. I guess he has, I guess he does have your boy Ovechkin to thank for going down with an injury, but
yeah, exactly.
He's, he's going back and forth with Martin Nekas over in Carolina. I don't know. I just, they're playing really great hockey, and this wasn't the team. I expected them to be good. I didn't expect them to be this good.
Well, I think when we were watching Winnipeg race out to that lead, I remember looking at Minnesota that they weren't that far off in the rearview mirror.
Right, now,
Winnipeg's faltered a little bit, like you said, here and there. And Winnipeg or Minnesota has not. And so there you go. I mean, the Wild are a good team.
And again, ebbs and flows of a hockey season, right? Like I fully expect there to be a return, a fall off. That's just the way things go. And how it is. You talked about my Blues. I'll talk about heartbreak, because we'll talk about we're playing the Flyers, down 1-0. We're down 2-1, tie up the game, only to give up a fucking breakaway goal in overtime to a 19-year-old because I don't know, we hate ourselves. We had I don't know.
We can talk about the Blues when you come back. I mean, there's some stuff about with them.
Yeah, it is what it is. Let's do that. Let's take our break. Let's take our commercial break. When we come back, we'll get into not one but two coaching changes, which, if you recall, 2 weeks ago, we said they were coming. I will say I did not see one of them coming at all, and that was my Blues. So hold off. We'll be right back. And we'll talk it all out. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Welcome back to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/the Chairshot for all of your Chairshot shirt needs, including shirts like Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds. That's what I got. All our other radio show. You can still get Winner Is You shirts. So
wow. Okay.
I know, right? But anyway,
it's like I should have made a T-shirt for Attitude of Aggression, because that actually is the coolest logo we've got, other than Bandwagon Nerds. You know.
So let's on November 25th. The St. Louis Blues got a new hockey coach. I don't hate this hire, by the way.
Oh, no.
Jim Montgomery Jim Montgomery is a very, very good coach. Drew Bannister fired a couple days prior. I'm just going to say this. Until Armstrong is out and the new regime takes over, I don't know that anything good happens with the Blues, even under a quality coach like Jim Montgomery. I do not see this being a Craig Berube situation for the St. Louis Blues. They are middling, and that's just the way we live here at St. Louis right now. And we need to clean up some contracts. We need to clean up some talent. We need to draft. We need to draft. And I like that we are getting Jim Montgomery, a guy who was fired for having the audacity of going, and it's funny because this all ties together, right? Jim Montgomery gets fired, Blues fire their coach, hire Jim Montgomery. Do you know what Jim Montgomery's record for the Bruins was when he got fired, Dave? Would you like me to read it to you?
Because I got 9-3 or something dumb.
That's what it was to start the season.
Okay.
He was 120-41-23. For his career with the Bruins, but because of them kind of getting over their skis a little bit last year, you know, and having the record that they had where they went, 65-12-5.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
The best single season record in the NHL, in the history of the NHL, and not winning the cup. That was his first season. You know, he won a Jack Adams Award. The Bruins, and we'll get to this fire too. So, like, we hired him, and I was like, cool. And it's funny to me because Bruin fans are making fun of my team. Like, yeah, you hired Jim Montgomery. I'm okay with it.
I think it's an upgrade. In fact, it's an upgrade for you guys.
I think we have done much better by our team.
Like you're saying, Jim Montgomery, 2 years ago, that season, that regular season that he put together with Boston, and especially the way that he managed the two goalies with Swayman and Ullmark. Did he mismanage it in the playoffs against Florida? Yes. And has he ever been forgiven for that? No. But
no, well, we don't forgive. They don't forgive.
No, Boston, absolutely not. And I think, you know,
it's like being Ryan Day right now in Ohio State and losing four straight to Michigan. They don't care if he wins the national title. They're ready to fire him.
Yeah, right. I mean, and the NHL is very much a what have you done for me lately sort of situation. Right. And with the Bruins, it's like, I don't care what you did. I don't care you set a record. You can't beat Florida in the playoffs. You're not racing out to the divisional lead right now. You're kind of in the middle of the pack in the Atlantic. We got to get rid of you. Got to make a change. I think it's a dumb move on the part of the Bruins, but it is their loss and it is the Blues gain. And I think, you know, you look at Montgomery right away, came in, got you guys two wins and an overtime loss. Okay.
Right.
That's still 5 points that you probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So.
Yeah. I think it was extraordinarily short-sighted by Boston. And by the way, Boston, is still also middling right now in the NHL. Like they're no better. They are. Let's look at the record. They are 4-4-2 in their last 10. They fired Montgomery on November 19th. It is December 1st as we record this. So it's not exactly like they made the seismic shift that they were hoping for. They are sitting in fourth in the Atlantic. They are 11-11. They are with three overtime games. Their goal differential is atrocious, just like the Blues. They are 6-6-2 at home. They're 5-5-1 away. They are the definition of a middling team right now in the NHL.
They lost to the Penguins, and the Penguins are not good this year.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Right. So to me, I guess the thing that fascinates me with hockey and coaching is the nature of the company. The nature of the league, and that it really is, you know, you said, what have you done for me lately? There's no such thing. Like Scottie Bowman don't exist no more, where you just coach in one place. And even Scottie Bowman was a journeyman coach for a long time until he settled in Detroit and then, you know, let him to all those cups. Lucky bastard. I will say there are ties for the Blues with Montgomery. He was an assistant for 2 years with them. So this isn't an out of the blue thing. This is a welcome home sort of thing, pardon the pun. And yeah, I just want him to make the team competitive. I want people to go to St. Louis and feel like they're in for a fight every time they come, because right now that isn't necessarily the case. And even though they lost in an overtime loss to Philadelphia, they got down twice, tied it up twice to lose in overtime. That's fine.
He's going to make you guys better. Like you're saying, I don't know if the Blues have the talent necessary to make a run like 2019. Probably not, because a lot of things fell into place all at once and made that possible.
A new Jordan Binnington isn't walking through that door.
No. And you know, that sort of thing. But will he make the Blues better? Yes. Will he make them more competitive? Yes. Will he add some toughness to a team that probably needed it? Yes. So I think from that standpoint, it's a real win for the Blues. I fully expect them to compete for one of the playoff spots now, because Jim's a really good regular season coach. Now, how that translates over in the playoffs is a big question. Does he do something to kind of like distinguish himself like Barry Trotz did years ago, or is he like Bruce Boudreau, you know, where dominate the regular season and just can't get the job done in the playoffs, that sort of thing. But you know, and Jim's got that stigma attached to him until he actually gets rid of it. That's going to follow him and haunt him for a very long time. But I do think from what you guys needed, from where the Blues were, which was just kind of struggling to find traction, he's definitely an upgrade for you guys.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I got to share this while I'm thinking about it. I'm going to go back to the Bruins real quick. There's a lot of pride there right now. And I think that's what costs them. And this is their 100th year as a franchise this year. In fact, today, as we're recording this, they're getting ready to take on the Canadiens in the 100th year anniversary of their first ever game as a franchise. Games on NESN, I may actually check it out, just kind of given a recording schedule, I may be able to watch it live. It will be the 6,890th regular season game in franchise history. So I get it. I get it. They are doing, all kinds of stuff. They unveiled this huge Bruins bronze statue. I don't know if you've seen the picture of it, but it's something like 3,000 pounds. It's 6 feet tall, 10 feet long, made up of 90 pieces of bronze, and it weighs more than 3,500 pounds, sculpted by Harry Weber, who also in 2010 produced the dramatic statue of Bobby Orr. I spit on that statue.
What's that?
I spit on the Bobby Orr statue.
You spit on the Bobby Orr statue. Oh, because it happened against the Blues. Yeah.
Happened against the fucking Blues in the Stanley Cup Finals, man.
Right?
No,
that's right.
No.
Yeah.
We could have had our first Stanley Cup in our first years of Parade Cup. Instead.
Instead, you had to wait like 50 years. I got you.
You know, I was alive for our first Cup, which was exciting.
There you go.
So, a couple other things, some other news and notes, just some things that are worth noting. Kucherov over in Tampa Bay, day-to-day, undisclosed injury. Worried? Not worried?
The dreaded undisclosed injury. I mean, that's... You know, this is what I hate about the NHL's injury report, because it is so fucking vague.
Lower body injury.
Lower body. Like, they did that with Ovechkin. Lower body injury, then you realize, oh, he fractured his fucking fibula. That's a little bit more important than a lower body injury. And I didn't see the Kucherov injury, but, you look at teams that are kind of, like, fighting for playoff spots. Tampa Bay is one of them. They're barely ahead of Boston right now for that playoff spot. So they really need, and they don't have the depth that they had a few years ago with Stamkos in Nashville. Kucherov goes down and you're like, who are they going to turn to now? And so I think they need to get him back.
That's your points leader. So yeah. I would say, I mean, an Althea day to day is a good thing. And they just said undisclosed injury. I said lower body, said showed. So I guess this happened on Friday when they beat Nashville. Kucherov showed discomfort after trying to make a move on Nashville defenseman Adam Willsby, and that was it. Like, that happened in the first period. He did not play in the second period. He did return for the third and got an assist, but now is sad. So we'll have to see more to come on that. One other little Blues. I was talking about this with you as I had the NHL's Twitter. Some congratulations in order for the book. Jordan Binnington, who I just mentioned, he did set the single career wins record for the Blues at goal. So good on him. A lot of cool uniforms and stuff going on. But, you know, your Caps, you are on a 7-game road win streak. It's tied for your longest road winning streak. That's pretty straight. You beat the Blues, shocker, Colorado, Vegas, Utah, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Jersey. Like, that's a good run, man.
I'm telling you, man, I right now I would go out and say I was wrong about these guys. Very wrong. They are way better than I thought. And I will say, I give Spencer Carberry a lot of credit. Young coach. Yeah. He got the absolute most out of him last year. The stuff he's doing with the line management and getting the best guys out there at the best possible times. I mean, this is a coach who you can really build this franchise around. And there's enough young guys on this team that, like I said, they get that blue line in order, they're going to be a problem come playoff time.
Agreed. Also, want to give a little shout out to Jackson Staubert. You know why I'm shouting out Jackson Staubert today?
Because his name's cool.
He's also the goalie for the Utah Hockey Club. He pitched his first career shutout.
Oh, nice.
Which also happens to be the first shutout in the history of the Utah Hockey Club.
I still hate that name, but...
It is... I will say this. It's jarring when you're watching, like, the scroll on ESPN or NHL, and it just says Hockey Club. Like, Utah, I think you gotta do better. I think you gotta do better.
Come on,
like, there were so many better naming options out there, and you went with Utah Hockey Club. And I get it. It feels very soccer, right? Like, it feels very soccer, but you're a hockey club.
No one in Utah.
Calling yourself Hockey Club.
No one in Utah gives a shit. I mean, they have Real Salt Lake, but I don't think they're a contender or anybody cares about it.
Right. Honest to God, your jersey should just be plain white with black lettering that says Hockey Club. That's what you did.
It should be generic, like beer.
little cereal number underneath to let everybody know you're legit. Yeah.
QR code on a jersey or something. Jesus.
Right. Like, just funny stuff. But here we are. We're December. We're getting into the thick of it though. last thought from you before we head out. Who stood out? Who's standing out, I guess, for you as a player that you feel deserves some love?
As a player? Oh, wow. I got to think about it, but I like the LA Kings and what they're doing. I say this a lot about them because they just are kind of hanging in there. They're very quietly going about their business. They're right on the heels of Vegas right now. I know Kopitar is still there, but I'm trying to think who's leading the Kings in goals. That's points, goals, Kempe, 12 goals. Okay. Kopitar's got 21 assists. Kopitar's leading. Anze Kopitar is like an ancient dude. You know, he's been around forever. He's still leading them with points with 29. They're kind of a team that you got to keep an eye on them because the Kings are a little streaky, but they're just kind of like I said with Minnesota a few weeks ago, like they were just kind of like drafting off of Winnipeg's early start. And I think the Kings are still good. Edmonton's still kind of in the middle of the pack sort of thing. Vancouver's underachieving that, you know, looking at the Pacific Division, that sort of thing. But other than that, I want to keep an eye on the Blues, and that's not just because they're your team, but I'm really curious about this move that they made. Cause I think it's really going to pay off for them. And I think Boston really fucked up with this decision and this knee jerk reaction to, oh, you're not setting the league on fire this year. Let's fire your coach. Right. It's like, that's a bad idea. I mean, Jim Montgomery can coach. I'll say Florida kind of went through this weird phase where they lost like four in a row and then they kind of righted the ship, you know? So I mean, the Champs are still a very dangerous team.
Yeah. The Champs are here. Yeah. Can I just call out a really interesting stat?
What's that?
So when did Ovechkin go down? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. About 2 weeks ago.
He's still tied for fourth in goal with 15.
Yeah.
And he's tied with several other players. Sam Reiner has overtaken the lead at 18. He's only three goals better. And, you know, like, Ovechkin's pace was insane. But you want to know why Minnesota and Winnipeg are the talks of hockey right now? The top two goalies in goals against average: Philip Gustafson for Minnesota, Connor Hellebuyck for Winnipeg. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's really
that goaltending wins games. And that's why they're winning games right now. So a lot of fun things to watch. Cool. Well, that's going to bring us up on time. And I think before we get out of here, you should tell everybody how to find you out there on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials if you feel like it.
I'm just looking to see where are the caps on as far as goaltending goes. Way down at the bottom.
Yep.
Lindgren's down at 35th. Good God. Where's Logan Thompson at? He's got to be better than that. Jesus, what a mess. Oh, wait. Yeah, he's 15th. 2.56. That's not bad. That's like I'm saying. That's why I think Logan's been the better performing goalie. Of course, it helps when you don't put the puck in your own net. But right. You can follow me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. Threads and Instagram at Attitude of Aggression. All one word. And we just jumped on Blue Sky because recording Attitude of Aggression 300 the other day, all these guys were giving their Blue Sky. And I'm like, what the hell is this? An old man that I am. They're like, hey, we'll go here. So I just jumped on Blue Sky. Got to look and see what that site it is. I think it's the same as the other ones.
Yeah, Blue Sky is Twitter for liberals. That's the way I would describe it. Man. It's the location that a lot of left leaning folks went after the election went final, and is kind of the latest attempt at a new platform to go after Twitter and usurp Twitter. It is. I will say it's moderated a lot stronger. I too have a Blue Sky account. You can look me up at Wrestling Realist, just like on Twitter. That's at WRESTLNGREALIST. I jumped on board. I'm not particularly active on it yet. I do check it every day, multiple times. Sure, bandwagon nerds will make its way there eventually as well, as we start to talk about that. But also might as well say, you know, you can follow me or you can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays, of course, talking nerdy stuff with Dave, PC Tony, and a whole host of other dudes. Tuesdays, I am chatting up with Dave here with hockey or music. Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco when we can get it recorded. Tony, I'm sorry. I hear you. I see you. I feel you. That's going to do it for this week's edition, though, of Hockey Talk. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Keep an eye out on your teams. We will be back next week with another round of analysis, probably a lot of really fun stuff going on out there in the world of hockey, and we won't want you to miss it, so make sure you stay with us. This has been Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.